Is it Ms. Andrews?
Morning.
Good morning to you.
May it please the court, I'm Avis Andrews. I'm appearing on behalf of the appellant, Christina Follier, who is wasn't with us in the courtroom today, as she has been in all matters that have to do with her daughter. This is a situation where the good news is that we have two parties that are very concerned and devoted to the little girl that we're talking about. The issue stems from the fact that one of them is the natural mother, the biological mother. And she has brought this action to modify an order that was entered in Colorado, which gave custody of the child to the paternal grandparents. That was in 2017. Many things happened after that, in that my client rehabilitated herself through completing a probation relating to a charge she had out there. She moved to Nebraska, she got a home, she maintained employment, she provided financial support for the child. She was actively involved in everything that had to do with the child, medical, school, activities, saw her on a regular basis.
How much of this comes down to credibility, and what deference do we owe to the trial court judge as to credibility determinations?
Well, obviously that is a factor, and the court is to give weight to the what the trial court determined as far as credibility. But I think there is substantial evidence in the record to show that some credibility issues, I would say, on both sides, as always. That's not unusual. But I think the main thing has to do with whether or not the burden of proof was met in this particular case.
Who has the burden of proof? Is there a material change alleged, and does it need to be alleged?
Yes, I believe that the initial burden of proof is ours to show that there's been a material change in circumstances, and those are some of the things I was just talking about. But then we also have to show that it's in the best interest of the child that the custody be changed. But in this particular case, where we have grandparents and we have a biological parent, that burden is a little different. Under the
before we get into that, just for background, was there a parental unfitness finding made in Colorado?
I don't believe so.
Was the custody then just acquiesced to by your client there?
She did agree to it at that time, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So in this case where we have a parent and we have a non-parent, under the parental preference doctrine, the biological parent is presumptively regarded to be the proper guardian for his or her child unless it is affirmatively shown by clear and convincing evidence that she is unfit to perform the duties of a parent or has forfeited her right to do so. And so at that point, I think where we showed a change in circumstances, the best interest becomes a presumption for my client.
No, I'm sorry, I missed this. What actually is the material change of circumstance?
Your Honor, at the time the custody order was entered, my client was having legal difficulties in the state of Colorado. She eventually was incarcerated for those. There was some, the father was involved to some extent at that point. There was some drug use and.
So essentially you're saying there was a rehabilitation.
Yes, yes. She completed her probation. She completed a chemical program, an outpatient program, and got a house, got stability, became a working citizen, just did a lot of things, and those are outlined in our brief.
Do you understand the district court to have made a finding about either unfitness or forfeiture or exceptional circumstances as we've discussed it in recent cases?
Yes. I do not believe that the district court made a finding for any of those things. I believe, as I read the opinion, that the trial court based their opinion mainly upon the best, what he considered to be the best interests of the child.
If I may interrupt, I believe that the court's order preceded by not very much our opinion in Wyndham versus Kroll, which may be the framework for a set of facts like this. If that's the case, do you believe that the court order, although not informed of the framework in Wyndham versus Kroll, nevertheless happened to have met it in its order?
I would say that the court did not. I think the judgment in the district court was deficient in finding, making any finding regarding fitness. And in fact, I would say that the grandmother, Mrs. Sophie herself, testified that my client was a fit parent. I don't think there was anything by anybody to suggest that there was a forfeiture of parental rights. And so I think that gets us down to the exceptional circumstances. I don't think there was any finding regarding that. I don't even think there was much reference to exceptional circumstances as they've been set out in other cases. My client didn't have any ongoing.
Was the district court's order issued before or after our opinion in Tina K?
I'm not sure, but it sounds like it was before. So.
Did the district court it ordered expanded visitation and things as part of its order, did it not?
It did.
Could that be viewed as the district court was giving your client an opportunity to show that this rehabilitation that you've asserted was actually taking place, and then building basically a record to bring that child back into her life, or maybe even transitioning that child back into her life more?
I don't think it was put in there for that purpose, and I don't think it was ever referenced for that purpose. It would have been nice perhaps to have some guidelines on what needed to be done to get this child back to her mother, but I don't think that was the purpose. And I think there's some question as far as showing unfitness or exceptional circumstances or best interest or anything, that the court would in fact award my client every weekend, a couple weeks in the summer, time on every major holiday. I think that's significant to show that my client could be involved in the child, could be a parent to that child.
So and what do you want this court actually to do? Do you want us to make some decision, or do you want us to remand this for some more particularity on the part of the district court?
Well, my preference would be that this court make the decision, but in the alternative, to remand it to come up with a, if not just giving the child back to the mother, at least some reasonable way to make that occur. I think even the other party, the grandparents, at the time we were there at trial, they were allowing my client to have the child 50% of the time. And throughout the history, there had been times when the child had been there every other weekend or every week. They'd had various plans. I don't know that was necessarily good for the child for the grandparents to make that decision and vary it from time to time, but that was the circumstance.
The record shows significant issues of addiction. Would you agree with that?
Significant what?
Issues of addiction.
In the past, I would.
Now, with that being said, the fact that your client still says there's times it goes out and consumes alcohol, knowing that the consumption of alcohol at any point with an addiction associated with it is a dangerous situation. Did the court look into that, or was that part of the court's decision here?
I think that was a substantial part of the court's decision. I think it was a big issue for the judge. But I think the evidence was pretty clear that there wasn't any effect on the child by any alcohol that my client may have consumed, that there were at least her mother and another friend testified that she never drank in front of the child. I don't think there was any evidence that she ever did or used any drugs. I think at the time of trial, which was October of 2020, the most recent verifiable use of any kind of drugs had been in September of 2018, 2 years before that. There was an allegation by the grandmother that she had said words to in September of 2019 that I haven't used for a month. That was supposed to be said in front of the maternal grandmother who doesn't remember that. My client denies it. I think really realistically speaking, the only evidence we have of any drug use would have been at least 2 years before the trial.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller-Lerman. To what extent is it relevant that there was testimony regarding the child's behaviors and potential need for therapy, and especially following being with the mother?
There was some reference by the grandmother that as we got closer to trial, that she noticed some behavior that concerned her with the child and had initiated counseling, but we didn't hear from the counselor. We had no idea whether or not the counselor found anything wrong or amiss, and she did not testify. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Shoup, good morning to you.
Morning. May it please the court. I'm Megan Shoup. I represent the appellees, Mary and Tim Soppy, who are the paternal grandparents of the minor child Daphne at issue in this case. Justices of the court, the appellees are asking that this court affirm the district.
Paternal grandparents or
paternal?
Thank you.
Yes. Biological father was not involved in these proceedings, and he was out of state for a large portion of that time. But my clients are the paternal grandparents. Justices, we're asking that this court affirm the Washington County District Court's order that held that my clients, the appellees, should maintain custody of the minor child. We submit that there are three major reasons why this was the correct ruling. One is that the parental preference doctrine was properly analyzed and it was negated by Ms. Collier's unfitness.
Is there a finding of unfitness?
I don't believe that the district court order goes out of its way to specify unfitness. However, I believe that in reading that order, the judge went on to go through the mother's stability. And I believe that as he lists all of the reasons after listing the case law on when the parental preference doctrine is negated by unfitness, I believe that when you take all of the evidence presented, there is a showing of unfitness.
It's implied.
I believe that in reading the district court order, as the judge went through what had to be shown to show unfitness, and then he lists the reasons and Ms. Collier's shortcomings. I believe it's
he just didn't
showing.
Say it directly.
I don't believe that he directly says it.
Was there any unfitness analysis in Colorado?
Well, what happened in Colorado was that the Colorado Department of Health and Human Services had intervened and had removed the child from the mother's care on two separate occasions. And on that separate occasion determined that the minor child should not go back to the mother's care. They then looked for a permanent placement. They found the Soppies. They were in Nebraska at that time. They were not residing in Colorado. Colorado released the minor child to the Soppies in Nebraska and determined that they were the proper parents to have, the proper parties to have custody.
Was there any court review of that, those actions?
Yes, and so there is a district court order from the, I believe it's Phillips County District Court of Colorado, that determined that it was in the best interest of the minor child that her permanent legal and physical custody be placed with the Soppies.
But is that a finding about fitness, or is that a best interest determination?
It was primarily a best interest finding. At the time, Ms. Collier was actually incarcerated, and so she would not have been able to exercise custody at that time. The second factor in all of this, after the district court goes through the parental preference doctrine, is that this is a modification.
What do you think the status of balancing the parental preference doctrine with best interest of the children is? What do you think the status of that is in Nebraska at the moment?
Well, I believe the status is that the parental preference doctrine can be negated by if the best interest of the child lie elsewhere in an exceptional case, which I believe is what this court held in the.
To what extent, perhaps your answer would go to initial determinations. To what extent since we are here on a motion to modify, and there seems to be, perhaps I'm wrong, some agreement that the grandparents are serving in loco parentis. So is that not the framework for the current state of affairs on the record? This is a motion to modify where the grandparents are in loco parentis. So how do we analyze that after Wyndham versus Kroll? Not, this is not an initial determination. This is a modification, or am I wrong?
You are correct. This is a modification. That Colorado order is a custody determination in which it found that the Safis should have legal and physical custody of the minor child. And I don't believe there's been any dispute between the parties that this is a modification. And so I would submit to the court that the proper analysis would be whether or not there has been a material and substantial change in circumstance that's in the best interest of the minor child to modify custody.
The mother's parental rights have not been terminated.
They have not been terminated.
But and the grandparents who you represent, you're not claiming that the Colorado custody order somehow conferred more rights upon them than their status as in loco parentis.
No, Your Honor, they're not arguing that they have
parental right. They're not adoptive parents. They haven't been conferred parental rights. They simply have been conferred custody pursuant to a determination that was in the child's best interest at that particular time.
That is correct.
All right.
And during these proceedings, what the Safis testified to is that it was not their intention to raise this child forever. She was born in 2014. She's resided with them since July of 2016. Their initial goal in all of this was actually to reunite Ms. Collier with the minor child. And in December of 2016, when Ms. Collier was released from custody and placed on probation, she moved to Nebraska and actually stayed with the Safis. And they allowed that, her probation was transferred here, and they allowed that because their goal was to help her get to a status to where she could regain custody. Their position at the time of trial was that she's just not there yet. They've commended her for her efforts. They recognize that she did gain employment, that she has spent time with the minor child and was working to rebuild that relationship. Where their concern lies is that she has a history of relapses, and they've observed her over the last.
She's always going to have a history of relapses once she's had a relapse, isn't she?
Yes, Your Honor. However, this seems to have become a pattern to where they've grown concerned about the length of time between relapses. And if she had demonstrated a significant period of time, we may not be here.
So however, this comes down ultimately then to the 2 years versus 1 year. Is that essentially what it boils down to? The evidence is conflicting, and on the one hand, there's evidence that there had been a relapse 2 years before the trial, and then there's this hearsay or non-hearsay indirect evidence of a perhaps relapse a year before trial. Is that really what it boils down to?
Well, I don't know that it necessarily boils down to, had it been 2 years, whether they would have said they would sign over custody to her. I believe what it comes down to, and I would argue that Mary Safi was found to be the credible witness in all of this, and that her testimony was that Ms. Collier did admit to slipping a month before. That was in September of 2019. So if her last use was August of 2019, we proceeded to trial in October of 2020. That was not a significant period of time. If she had indeed maintained sobriety during that time.
So, frankly, so what we don't would know. Be a significant period of time?
I don't know that I can speak for Mary and Tim Safi on what they would find. But I think the bigger issue that came out during trial, and that the trial court judge acknowledged as well, was that Ms. Collier hasn't done anything to show show a court that she's committed to maintaining her sobriety. And essentially what this is similar to is the mother at issue in the Tina K case, where she did things to reach sobriety, but stopped as soon as she was out of a court order to do so. And here, Ms. Collier, while she was on probation, she somewhat did what she was supposed to. I will submit she had two custodial sanctions, one for missing drug tests and one for testing positive for methamphetamine. However, once she was done with probation, she hasn't done any sort of continued long-term drug treatment. She's not actively seeking counseling. She claims to attend AA and NA meetings. However, she didn't produce any corroborating evidence of that. And again, she was determined by the trial court judge to not be a credible person, to not be a credible witness in all of this.
If we find that the district court did not make an implied finding of unfitness, but just made its decision based solely on a best interest determination, assume that.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that leave us?
I believe that this court could apply the same sort of law that's applied in the Tina K case and find that the judge had determined that this was an exceptional case where the best interests of the child lie elsewhere. And in large part because this minor child at the time of trial was 6 years old, and the Sobbies were the only stable home she'd ever known.
You contend that the district court made a finding of exceptional circumstances?
I don't know. I don't believe that the district court order specifies that this is an exceptional case.
I mean, in Tina K, we remanded the case, correct? We found that there correct. Had been no finding and remanded for that to be considered.
And so in this type of case, if there are no findings that there's unfitness and there's no finding of an exceptional circumstance, then perhaps the proper procedure would be to remand it for new trial, or at least for the court to review that record and make a determination. Justices, I am out of time. If there are no further questions, I thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, thank you for being here today on state on behalf of Daphne F versus Christina C. You are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Blake.